think the starting rotation was like
Blog
John
Talk
Al Nepper.
Bat down the hatches, man. This show is going through the roof tonight. It is the American Sports History Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Peter Ray. He's in cold Cleveland, Ohio, where, I don't know, maybe the Kelseys are running around with no shirts on trying to get in something in Cleveland. We'll find out with Peter. Here's truly Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, where the rest of this week could look like Seattle or Buffalo. A lot of rain coming through. 347-205-9631. 30 goes by quick. We understand it. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Tell all your friends. Making this show what it is today, a great show, and just so blessed to produce it. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So, more of him, less of me. Without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. The threes, Peter. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, oh, man, that pre-chat with this great guest of yours, it's going to be a dandy. I'll sit back and man the boards, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guest, he's back for the second time, was on almost 4 years ago. He played Major League Baseball from 1992 to 2001 as a second baseman, third baseman, outfielder with the Texas Rangers, Boston Red Sox, Colorado Rockies, and Toronto Blue Jays. He hit .290 for his career, 626 hits, 135 doubles, 16 home runs, 194 RBIs, 11 triples, 56 stolen bases. He's currently a baseball player agent. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jeff Fry.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, Mr. Fry, I was looking up a thing here. It's from Toronto Blue Jays interviews, and this is from a couple years ago, 5 years ago, and it says you had it describes you as having a North Texas accent. Now, you grew up in California, moved to Oklahoma, and what do you think about your North Texas accent?
I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever heard it described that way, but
okay.
I've lived a few places in my life, from California to Oklahoma to Texas, and now currently Maryland. So it's I don't really know how I sound, to be honest with you, buddy.
Okay. Now, when we had you on before, I regretted. I gave you like 5 to 10 names at a time of your. You had a lot of memorable people that you played with or were involved with. So I'll give you one at a time tonight, starting when you were in the 1992 Rangers. They had two managers. So was Bobby Valentine first? Was he the first manager of that year?
Yes, he was, but I never actually played for Bobby.
Oh, so do you have any memories of him?
Oh, yeah. I see. My first big league spring training was that year in 92, and Bobby was the manager and had a great spring training and probably good enough spring training to make the team, to be honest. But I'd only played at the double-A level and then winter ball, and so I think they thought I needed a little bit more time. And so I went down to triple-A for 3 months, and the day I got called up, Bobby Valentine got fired. So I never actually played in the big leagues for Bobby V.
What do you remember about him? From spring training?
Oh, he was a nice guy. I mean, just and you got to understand, I was the new guy, so I kept my mouth shut and my eyes open, and I just did my job and hoped that somebody noticed. There wasn't a whole lot of conversations going on between me and, you know, Bobby was starting to become pretty famous at that time, so I just kind of did my job and hoped they noticed.
So your first manager was a guy very familiar in Cleveland. Played here and played well. Toby Hara, what do you remember about him?
Oh, I love Toby. I love Toby. He was a great baseball man and just a good guy, and he got it. He understood how the players felt because he'd been one, and you know he was pretty tough on me. I think that that's kind of the way it used to be. You had to earn your stripes, and you know he would. I remember a few times I didn't really understand why he was pinch hitting for me when I was 2 for 2 in the game, but that's just kind of the way they did things back then.
And one of the owners of the team was George W. Bush, who became U.S. president later. Did you have any interactions with him?
Yes, I did. George was always there, and in the front row right by the on-deck circle and occasionally come in the locker room, and very nice guy. And I ran into George probably 4 or 5 years ago. They had an event at the ballpark, and he immediately knew who I was, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that's interesting. So you had interactions with the President of the United States.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I mean, when he was the owner, nobody ever envisioned that he was even going to run for President of the United States. At least the players didn't. But Tom Schieffer, who was, pretty high up politically, and I think he was like an ambassador or something. So I don't know what it is about those Texas Ranger owners, but I guess they like their politics.
Now, among the coaches, some guys are familiar from the 70s, Ray Burris.
Love Ray Burris, yeah. Great pitching coach, great guy. Still have some contact with Ray today.
Tom House.
Tom House, I see him quite often. He's still doing a lot of stuff for pitching, and I remember him having the guys do some crazy stuff, throwing footballs out there in the outfield, and we didn't know what the heck was going on back then.
Dalen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, watching the show, listening, says he loves the show. Jeff is a great guy, laid back. Let's see. General manager Tom Grieve, another 70s player.
Yes, Tom Grieve was a great guy, and, played, I think he played eight or nine years in the big leagues, an outfielder, and then became the GM. And I did some TV stuff with the Rangers a few years ago with Tom, and he's just a super nice guy.
Among the players, Ivan Rodriguez.
Yeah, well, Pudge and I were teammates in Gastonia 89, Port Charlotte 90, Tulsa 91, and then in Texas in 92 and up to 95 together. So we were together for a long time.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah, well, Rafi was the first baseman when I got called up, and he was there until I think he became a free agent, and they signed Will Clark, and then Rafi went on to Baltimore after that.
Dickie Thon.
He was my first double play partner. He got me in trouble with Toby Hare. It wasn't his fault, but never forget. Dickie was a star coming up, and then he had a problem with his eye, and it kind of hindered his career path. But, he was a shortstop, and he threw me a double play feed that I wasn't prepared for. I was expecting an underhand feed, and he threw it, and I didn't turn the double play, and I went back to the dugout, and Toby asked me what happened. And I said, well, I was expecting an underhand feed, and he threw it to me. He goes, let me tell you something, kid. He goes, excuses are like, you know what, everybody's got them, and they all stink. And he just kind of stared a hole through me. I was like, okay, I'll never do that again.
I guess you're supposed to say, I messed up.
Well, there was a time later in the year where something happened where I felt I could make an excuse, but I didn't do it.
Because he didn't want to hear it.
No, I was afraid.
Dean Palmer.
Yeah, Dean was an amazing player, amazing power. Still to this day, one of the quickest bats I've ever seen, and never really seen somebody who was that strong and powerful that could hit the ball the way he did. And he would kind of had a lot of peaks and valleys in his career where he would be not very good for a week or two, and then the next 10 days he would carry the team, and it was just something to behold.
Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah, Juan Gonzalez is the best RBI man I've ever played with. It was, Juan was just an incredible hitter, and it just seemed like whenever somebody was on base, he was going to knock them in.
Ruben Sierra.
El Indio. Ruben was a superstar when I came up with the Rangers, and just an incredible guy, kind of took me under his wing and was, just went out of his way to be kind to me. And it's funny, when I was in Double-A, I was struggling, and I changed my swing to a leg kick because I was imitating Ruben Sierra playing wiffle ball, and I was killing the ball, and my roommate Rick Rona says, why don't you hit like that in the game? And so the next day in Double A, I started hitting that way with a leg kick because of Ruben Sierra.
Okay, Brian Downing.
Oh, man, he was like Superman. Love Brian Downing. He was the very end of his career. He when I came up, he was injured. He had like a pulled rib cage, which most people would be out for a month with, and he played through it. He said that every time he swung the bat, it felt like a knife was getting stuck into his side, but he was so tough that he played through it. And I'll never forget the last game of the season in 92 at the end of the season was in Anaheim, and Brian was from that area, and he rode his Harley to the field. And as we were driving to the airport after the season was over, Brian rode by on his Harley, passed the bus, and flipped us off, and we all loved it. Actually,
oh,
I ran into him about a year ago, too. He is a great
okay.
guy.
Okay, we got area codes 817-440-412-617-317 listening. Thanks so much. Gino Petralli.
Gino is amazing. Still one of my very good friends. He, Gino was working, I think, for UPS or doing something like that, and Bobby V needed a catcher, and Gino came back to playing and played for 12 years in the big leagues, and never forget on the flight home from Arlington, I mean from Anaheim to Arlington after that, after Brian Downing flipped his off, Gino came up to me and told me that he was proud of me and that I did a good job and I acted like a professional, and I'll never forget that he went out of his way to do that.
That meant a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. I have the utmost respect for Gino Petralli.
Julio Franco, another former Cleveland Indians favorite.
Yeah, he was an incredible hitter. The reason I got called up to the big leagues in 92 is because Julio was hurt. He was our second baseman, and he had won the batting title, I believe, the year before in 91. I think he hit 342, and then he had patella tendonitis in both knees and couldn't move, and so they called me up to the big leagues to play second base.
John Cangelosi.
Candyman. He was a good guy, just a scrap, a lot like me, just a little guy who was just a baseball player, found a way to get it done, and just a great teammate.
I remember watching an Indians-White Sox game, I think, and he kept getting on base and stealing second immediately, and I thought, oh, this guy's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Canseco.
Jose is one of my favorite teammates I ever had. He was obviously an incredible talent, and most people don't understand, I think, that Jose, when he was at the top of his game, was basically like a rock star playing baseball, and everywhere he went, everybody knew who he was. But when he was in the clubhouse, he was just one of us, just one of the guys, and extremely funny. And I played with him in Texas and Boston, and just a good guy. I mean, I remember being in Detroit, sitting in my hotel room before we had cell phones, and all of a sudden I was thinking I was getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden my phone room, the phone in the room rings, and it's Jose Canseco, and he goes, what are you doing? I said, nothing. And he says, all right, we're going to the casino. All right. I couldn't really say no. So I just went, hung out at the casino, I think on the other side of the border from Detroit, and, walked around with Jose Canseco, and I could just see when you're with somebody like that, and I have never really been with people like that that often that were that recognizable, you just walk behind him and everybody recognizes him. And I can only imagine what it must be like. I wouldn't like that.
Home runs and stolen bases.
Yeah.
Jose Canseco.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I mean. He was the first 40-40 guy.
Yep, incredible. Okay, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny was a great teammate. One of the best all-around athletes I ever played with. And just a fierce competitor. He when I first came up, he was a relief pitcher and kind of a hard thrower and didn't really know how to pitch. And then he turned himself into a pitcher and started learning how to change speeds and end up having a great career.
Jose Guzman.
I love Guzzi. I'll never forget Guzzi came on a rehab assignment when I was in the Florida State League in 1991. And, 1990, I was in the Florida State League playing for Port Charlotte, and he came down on a rehab assignment, bought his spread, and took us out, and, you know, we've been friends for a long time.
Bobby Witt.
One of the two funniest guys I ever played with. Bobby was a great guy. First-round draft pick out of OU, power pitcher, had a great career, and still friends with Bobby and his younger brother Doug Witt was our bullpen catcher for the Rangers, and we spent a lot of time together. Very fond of the Witt brothers.
Nolan Ryan.
I don't remember that guy. I remember that guy. My first game in the big leagues, I get to the field at 5:30. I'm called up, and they said, "Hey, you want to take batting practice? You got to hurry up and get out for BP." Over at 6, and I said, "I don't have time." They said, "Well, go check out the lineup." So I ran over to the board where the lineup was posted, and I walked over there and I looked and I saw Jeff Fry, number 51, is leading off playing second. I look at the bottom, Nolan Ryan, number 34, is pitching for the Rangers.
Wow.
My first game.
What a thrill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, just go ahead, son, right into the fire. I didn't even get to sit. I mean, I'd honestly been there for 5 minutes, and the game was an hour and a half, and I'm like, holy crap, my first game in the big leagues, and Nolan Ryan's pitching. I better not mess up.
Do you remember how many strikeouts he had that game?
No. What I remember about that game is that, I remember a lot of stuff about that game, but my first game in the big leagues, I was player of the game.
Mm.
And Nolan Ryan pitched, and we won. And it was all downhill after that.
So why were you player of the game?
Well, it just so happened to be against the Cleveland Indians, by the way. I was 2-for-3 with 3 runs scored, a triple, an RBI, I think. And, we end up winning the game, and a walk, and we end up winning the game.
Wow. Okay, Kevin Brown.
One of the best pitchers I ever played with. Kevin Brown was so intense, and you know, a lot of people have, I think a lot of people misunderstood Kevin Brown because he was just seemed so intense and kind of aloof a little bit. The guy was incredibly smart. You know, his engineering degree, I believe, from Georgia Tech, and incredible pitcher. Threw 97, 98 mile an hour sinkers and had the worst luck ever. But most people steered clear of Kevin Brown because they were afraid of him. But I messed with him a lot, and I think that's why him and I got along so good, because I just kind of called him out on his stuff, and he liked that. Nobody else did that.
Well, that's great, Floyd Bannister.
Floyd Bannister. I don't remember him that well. Is he a left-handed pitcher?
Don't know. He was a pitcher.
Yeah, I think he was a relief pitcher. No, Floyd Bannister, starting pitcher.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, remember that much about him. That's my first E right there. Sorry.
Right. Okay. Jeff Russell.
Oh, Russ is great. I'm still friends with Russ. Russ was our closer through upper 90s with a crazy curveball and just kind of a goofball and fun-loving guy and just a great teammate.
Another former Cleveland Indian, Mike Jeffcoat.
Yeah, Coater was a great guy. I think he was a starter early in his career, but a little bit of a reliever. And, you know, he didn't throw real hard, but he knew how to get guys out. And funny, Mike Jeffcoat and I coached our daughter's softball team when they were growing up. We were both coaches, and you know, I'm not sure how many other softball, 8-year-old softball teams had two former major leaguers as coaches.
You know, there's a great book that came out in 2020 called The Wax Pack by Brad Balukchian, and he opened his whole thing was he bought a pack of baseball cards from 1986, I think, and then went to meet the guys. And actually, Don Carmen was his favorite player, and he met him, and you were teammates with Don Carmen. You remember him?
I do remember Don Carmen. We were teammates, I think, in AAA and the big leagues. And I knew that he had, left-handed pitcher, I knew that he had come up in the Phillies organization and was, I think, good friends with, why can't I think of his name, lefty, who's the best one of the best lefty pitchers in history. I can't think of his name for the Phillies. Steve Carlton. Steve Carlton.
Okay.
And that he had trained in martial arts with the same guy that Steve Carlton had. And that so we knew not to mess with Don Carmen.
Okay.
I think it was Aikido or some kind of crazy stuff that we'd never heard of. We're like, yeah, don't mess with that guy.
So in 93, you were back in the minors?
93, I missed the whole season with a knee injury.
Okay.
So I was back, went to winter ball, and then went back to start the season in AAA because I missed the entire year before.
When did you hurt your knee?
Oh, man, I was playing basketball.
Off after the 92 season?
Rangers Rookie of the Year, and I played basketball because that was our kind of our cardio, and I would play basketball, I mean, 4 or 5 days a week at the gym, right, not too far from the stadium with Kenny Rogers, Darren Oliver, Rick Helling, and we would just school these guys, and we were playing these three managers from the Hooters restaurant, and I was pretty good at basketball. I mean, I went to college to play basketball, so at that point in my life, I was really pretty good, and we were talking smack, and I stole the ball, went for a layup, and those three managers hit me the same time, and I came down awkwardly on my leg, and my knee popped. And so I tore an ACL. I told the Rangers that I was jogging and missed the entire season, but that was I was playing basketball.
Wow. I remember Buddy Bell getting hurt playing basketball with Cleveland, and and they put a ban on basketball for players. Okay,
yeah,
the 90s. Go ahead.
If you don't play, you know, if you're playing with, and I remember going to Bobby Witt's house in Colleyville with a bunch of us to hang out, and we're playing on this outdoor basketball court with Pete Incaviglia and Bobby Witt and all these Roger Pavlik, all these guys, and if you drove the lane, Pete Incaviglia, you're going to get tackled. There was, I mean, and so we didn't even think about driving the lane, but it's amazing that none of us got hurt, and then I get hurt playing some managers from Hooters.
Wow, well it is a fun game, and it is a good workout for sure. Okay, the 94 Texas Rangers, you were back, the new manager Kevin Kennedy. What do you remember about him?
Oh, I love Kevin. You know, Kevin came over from the Dodgers organization, and we didn't know much about Kevin, and yeah, I think he will admit he made a lot of mistakes as manager with the Rangers, because a lot of the players just kind of, they didn't really like Kevin a lot. And then 2 years later, Kevin brought me to Boston, and I'd seen that he had changed a lot. He'd never managed in the big leagues, and he kind of had to learned by his mistakes, but he was a totally different person, different manager in Boston, and the players loved playing for him.
Yeah, the coaching staff, Mickey Hatcher.
Well, Mickey was crazy. We love Mickey. He was just, you know, we all remember Mickey playing for the Dodgers in Florida in those days, and he was just a fun-loving guy, knew the game, and, you know, we knew that he was one of us. He was pulling for us.
And another great L.A. Dodger, Claude Osteen.
Claude's the man. I love Claude. I played a lot of golf, did a lot of hunting with Claude Osteen in the off season and still see him occasionally. And Claude won 199 games for the Dodgers.
Mm.
He's in the same rotation as Sandy Koufax and Drysdale. And I mean, he had an incredible career, and I just don't think people realize how good he was.
Well, I remember him. Did he talk much about playing with Koufax and Drysdale and those great Dodgers teams?
No, and the funny thing is when you're around those guys, you know, it's when you're away from the field, you don't want to always talk about baseball.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's just
right.
You know, we get enough of that while we're at
right.
work, and we get away because we're talking about fishing and hunting and playing
right.
golf and stuff like that.
Well, there is more to life than baseball, for sure. Another former Cleveland Indian coach on your team, Willie Upshaw.
Oh, I love Willie. He was our hitting coach, and I know Willie was a great player when he played, and just a good person. And you know, I did a lot of work with Willie. I still remember to this day going out early one day when I was struggling and working with Willie. And you know, that year I hit 327 that year, so I did pretty well. And Willie was a hitting coach.
And among the players, one of the tremendous player, Will the Thrill Clark.
Yeah, what can you say about? We called him Wilbur, the sheriff. He was something, man. His little squeaky voice was always getting on everybody's butt, but we loved him, man. When he crossed the friggin' line to play the game, to start the game, you knew what you were getting, 100%. And he was gonna do everything he could to take the guy out at second, bust his butt, even though he wasn't really that athletic, but one of the prettiest swings you'd ever seen, and just a great teammate.
And you hit, as you said, 327 with the 94 Texas Rangers. So, what can you say about that?
Yeah, I was pretty happy about that. And what's funny is that you know, then they got a new manager. Then we got Johnny Oates to come over. Kennedy got fired. It was a strike year, and they brought in Johnny Oates, and you know, I thought I kind of earned the position going into the next season. And he called me, and when he got the job, I said, "Hey, you're our second baseman." And then they signed Macklemore, who was with Baltimore with Johnny. And a week into spring training, they said there's a platoon at second base between me and Macklemore. I'm like, we hadn't started games yet. And there's now, I thought I was the second baseman. So that was, I still haven't forgot that.
Rusty Greer.
Rusty was a baseball player, and I joke with Rusty that I got him called up to the big leagues because we're in, I think, Detroit, and Oda B. McDowell got hurt, and I was in the dugout standing next to Kevin and Danny Wheat, the trainer, and Oda B. obviously pulled a muscle, so he was going to be out for a while, and Kevin turns to Danny Wheat and says, "We need an outfielder from AAA." And I was standing right there, and I said, "You got to call out Rusty Greer." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "He's the best player in the league, is he?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." They called him up the next day.
Hmm. Wow. Did you tell Rusty about it?
Trust me, many, many times.
Now, we had Sam McDowell in Cleveland. I was making we had him on the show. We were joking around, and I said, "Oh, people love Sam McDowell. Everyone wanted to be like him." And they wanted to be like him so bad that they said, "Oh, to be Sam McDowell." And then so we ended up trading for Oda B. McDowell. See, that's my joke. What do you remember about Oda B. McDowell?
Oh, was a great guy. Leadoff hitter, exceptional athlete. You know, not a big guy, but had some power and could run and cover the outfield. And it was just a great teammate. I remember Sam McDowell, too, because when I was in the minor leagues with the Rangers, they hired Sam McDowell to be, you know, one of our, I guess he was like a mental skills coach, you know, kind of at the beginning of those kind of coaches. And we called him Sudden Sam McDowell, and he told us about, you know, his battles with alcoholism and stuff like that. And then, you know, he would come in and we'd have like one or two meetings a week. And, you know, it was, and he was a great guy. I can't believe how big that guy was. And I heard he threw like, you know, upper 90s from the left-hand side back when he pitched, so.
Sudden Sam. Our guest has been Mr. Jeff Fry, who played Major League Baseball from 1992 to 2001 with the Texas Rangers, Boston Red Sox, Colorado Rockies, and Toronto Blue Jays. Time has flown, Mr. Fry. I hope to have you. I'll contact you again. Hope you can come on again. We didn't get very far, but we have a lot more guys to ask you about, so I'll be in touch with you. Hopefully you can come on again. Do you have any final words for our audience?
No, I'm sorry, I'm so long-winded. I can talk about my teammates forever, but we have like 5 more years to go, and I can tell more stories about that if you guys want to do this again in the near future. But yeah, for the people listening, they can follow me on social media. I'm the Certified Hitting Guru on Instagram, at Shigon03 on Twitter. My name, Jeffrey Fry, on Facebook, and I'm my mission is to educate parents to a lot of the bad teaching that's out there for their kids, and that we need to focus on teaching the young kids the basic fundamentals of the game and allow them to have fun and be kids.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. I love hearing your stories about your teammates. I'll be in touch with you. Thanks so much for a wonderful interview, Mr. Jeff Fry.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me. You guys have a great night.
Thank you so much. Next week, we're going to have Bill North, a tremendous center fielder, MLB center fielder from the 1970s. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Jeff Fry.